The word given us today is In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Amen. Chapter 24 of the 2 Samuel testifies an event which took place in the latter half of when David ruled. King David directed Commander Joab to report the population from Dan to Beersheba. Dan is a northern boundary of Israel, while Beersheba is located in the southern border. So when one says from Dan to Beersheba, it usually means the whole land of Israel, from Mountain Bakdu to Hanah, so to speak. This was not the first census of Israeli descendants. Ever since the Exodus, there have been two censuses taken place in the wilderness. The first one was a year and 15 days after the Exodus, when they stayed in the desert of Sinai. The Lord led Moses to count the number of Israeli people from each tribe who were able to fight, and the number was 603,550, where the tribe of Levi was excluded as they were called to serve God in the tabernacle. In the lead up to entering Canaan, when Israelites stayed in the plains of Moab by the Jordan across Jericho, God made the second order to Moses to count the number of men aged 20 or more. And the number was 601,730. The tribe of Levi was not included this time as well, for the same reason. Since this was very important, the title of the book recording this event became The Numbers, Counting the Number of People. The census of David seems with no problem at all. But Joab actually disapproved it with his whole heart. The 2 Samuel 24:3 testifies the word Joab said to David as follows. But Joab replied to the king, "May the Lord your God multiply the troops 100 times over, and may the eyes of my lord the king seize it. But why does my lord the king want to do such a thing?" The major purpose of the census was to mobilize soldiers and impose tax. David wanted to know how powerful Israel is and how great his work has been. Knowing that David can hardly be persuaded, Joab conducted a census over 10 months and made a report. In Israel, there were 800,000 able-bodied men who could handle a sword, and in Judah, 500,000. God did not have Moses perform a census to mobilize soldiers or impose tax. It was aimed to assure Israelites that he will watch them even though they had nothing to protect themselves after the 400-year slavery in Egypt, and to make them as people serving the Lord. That is why God had Aaron, the high priest, do the first census instead of a general such as Caleb or Joshua, confirming the purpose of the census was the faith, not for the military or economy. Also, God made Moses conduct the second survey by Eleazar, the son of Aaron, since Aaron passed away. But the reason that David let Commander Joab perform the census instead of Zadok or Ahimelech, the high priests, was because the research was for the military or economical purpose, not for the faith to look back on the history and grace of God. Once the census was done, David realized how foolish he was, asking God to forgive him, saying, "I have done a very foolish thing." Next morning, God sent the prophet Gad to choose one out of three. 7 years of famine, 3 months of fleeing from enemies, or 3 days of plague. It was evident any chosen one of the three will entail tremendous pain. David chose the 3 days of plague instead of letting people suffer from long famine or having the whole country ravaged by the enemy, thinking that the 3 days of plague to be the direct punishment of God. That decision led 70,000 individuals killed by infectious disease from Dan to Beersheba across Israel, where David took the census. The event of census ended when David went up and built an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Arona. David did not take the census in early days of taking authority when the system to control the nation has not yet been stabilized, or when they had to escape from the coup of the son Absalom. It was peaceful time when there was not any problem, even without the commander Joab being absent for 10 days in Jerusalem, and with no war or rebellion inside or outside the country. So the power of military and economy in peaceful times is the best tool to show the superiority of the ruler. Therefore, the stronger countries, the more attractive the census is felt by the ruler. There is a census in today's scripture as well, in the verses from 1 to 3. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. In 44 BC, when Julius Caesar was murdered by Brutus Antonius, the closest general to Caesar believed that he will make the successor. Caesar, however, had 18-year-old foster son, Octavianus, succeed his power. Antonius and Octavianus got along well together at first, and they once defeated the allied forces of Brutus and Cassius together. But they grew apart from each other over time. Eventually, in 31 BC, Octavianus won the Battle of Actium over the allied forces of Antonius and Cleopatra, so the Rome unified the whole country. Since then, Octavianus adopted the title of Augustus from the Senate and became the first emperor of Rome. Augustus was an excellent ruler of the empire. Instead of using force, he accepted the autonomy, although partially, culture, religion, lifestyle of each region. Moreover, he even approved the law of a nation as long as it is in line with the Roman law. Those 200 years or so of his reign are called Pax Romana. The highest power who unified the Roman Empire directed to take a census across the whole empire and its colonies. This one sentence written in the Bible was actually a great deal. Moving the whole people of each nation under the Roman Empire, as well as Roman citizens. The territory of Roman Empire at the time reached Europe bordering the Mediterranean, North Africa, Egypt, Palestine, and even Persia. So taking a census of such far-flung empire is beyond imagination. Nowadays, a family relation certificate or a diploma can be issued at a community service center or on the internet. Also, one can take his physical examination for conscription at a place near the residence. This was not the case 30 years ago. Different from those living in a place where they were born, it was extremely inconvenient for those who moved to other places. They needed to visit their hometown where they were born to issue one copy of family registration. So it could not be even a comparison with the force and inconvenience the Israelites would feel under the rule of Roman Empire 2,000 years ago. The census in the ancient times was taken to enroll soldiers and tax, and it showed the intent of the ruler as it was. The Israelites hated the census very much. Such census was taken by the governor of Syria, not the ruler of Israel, under the order of Roman emperor. It is imaginable enough how much Israelites hated the census. Among the Jewish tribal divisions, there was the Zealot. They once had a coup against the policy of Rome. Simon, out of the disciples of Jesus, was a member of the Zealot. This Zealot was founded because of this census. There were considerable resists because of the census, taken in a forceful and cold-hearted manner. But that was also the reason that Mary, who was almost near the due, had to register. The reason, however, that today's scripture was written is not simply to testify the order made by the Roman emperor to take a census. The more think of today's words, the more you will see the mysteries of the Lord. Although it seems the whole world was moved by the hand of the Roman emperor, it was God who worked wonderfully and mysteriously without an error. Caesar Augustus ordered the census to show the world how great he was, how solid his power was, and how strong the Roman Empire was. Ironically, however, it served as a chance to accomplish God's words. Micah chapter 5, verse 2 testifies the birth of Jesus as follows. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. This foretells that Jesus will be born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem means a house of bread. So it foretells that Jesus Christ, the bread of life, will be born in the house of bread. If Augustus did not order the census, or if he ordered only to the Roman Empire, not its colonies, the foretold birth of Jesus could have been made in Nazareth, not Bethlehem. Nazareth is 80 miles apart from Bethlehem. And it would have been far more distant to walk. In addition, they could have walked much further to bypass Samaria. Jewish people living in between Bethlehem and Nazareth considered inappropriate to accompany with Samaritans. Without the order of Roman Emperor, who would have willingly walked the distant way with a wife who was near the due? Moreover, to walk was the only transportation which the poor can afford at the time. If the Roman Emperor had ordered the census a little earlier, Mary and Joseph would have come back to Nazareth to give birth after having them registered first. On the contrary, if it was later, they should have given birth to Jesus in Nazareth and then come to register carrying baby Jesus. The Roman Emperor directed the census for the political, military, and economical purposes. However, God used it to fulfill His will. If I read the verse 1 again, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. When are those days? On the surface, they are the days when the Roman Emperor issued his decree to take a census of the entire Roman Empire. It was when he resolved to further maintain his power and when he gained fame in the whole world. However, verse 5 and 6 of today's scripture says as follows. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. It seems that the Roman Emperor chose the time on the surface, but it was decided by God. In other words, the time was when Mary was about to give birth to baby Jesus, and the time when God is about to send the Savior to this world to save the people. About the time, Galatians 4:4-5 testify as follows. But when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. The time had fully come, and God sent His Son to redeem the people. Although the history might seem to run as the will of man, it is Lord who reigns over the history without an error. If there were newspapers at the time as today, what could be run on the papers of Roman daily or Empire Times, so to speak? The Emperor's decree of census could have been the headline. How much government tax increased? And what disadvantages people might have received if not registered? In comparison, however, the story of Mary and Joseph giving birth to baby Jesus could not have run on any newspaper. Even though it was run, no one would have paid attention to the gossip. Rather, they would have taken more interest in the census on how much it would impact the politics and economy of their nation. However, God did not work with the Roman emperor. God was with Mary and Joseph. The main characters used in the show of God's salvation, sending Jesus to the earth, were Mary and Joseph. Roman emperor was no more than a bit actor. It is mysterious. The Forbes, an American magazine, selected 72 most powerful people in the world last year. The first place was taken by the Russian President Vladimir Putin. Second place, U.S. President Barack Obama. Third place, Xi Jinping, the Chinese president, Pope Francisco IV, and Angela Merkel, the German Prime Minister V. Most of 72 powerful people were politicians or businessmen. God, however, did not call those politicians or businessmen salt of the world or light of the world. Instead, he called Christians the salt of the world, or light of the world. Comparing with the selection of Prime Minister of Korea, or the merger of conglomerates, this worship service could seem very small. However, the eye of the Lord is on us, because we, Christians, are the pathway of the work of God, just as Mary and Joseph. It was last June, a member of our church called me. He asked me to come to visit his friend who was in his 50s having cancer. He said he once had studied theology and served the Lord sincerely, but he got tested in the middle and stopped believing until recovering the faith after having lung cancer. Hospital recommended him to move to a hospice center, as it seemed 1 or 2 months left for him. I was having sabbatical months at the time during weekdays and preached on Sundays. And I received a call on Thursday from Philippines. I thought to meet him during next week at first, but changed my mind to see him that night, although I was tired. After Sunday service, I went to the hospital and met him and his family. He looked so healthy that he could be released soon. I came to know his wife was the member of my church afterwards. We looked at Psalm 23. We confessed, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want." From outside, David looked to lack nothing. However, he had everything lacking. He wasn't approved by his parents and brothers. He wasn't fully accepted by his wife. After the so-called Bathsheba incident, he lost his child and had a tragedy where the child ravaged and killed another. He suffered the treason from his child, so he had to hurriedly leave without even wearing a shoe. Through such process, he realized that it is only God who can take responsible for my life, who could fulfill the lack of the life. Also, he was able to firmly believe that God is with him, and the rod and staff of the Lord comfort him, even though he was in the valley of the shadow of death. Therefore, David confesses that he will stay in the house of the Lord forever. I bless the member to receive the grace of God, staying in the house of God, if he passed away. He also told me the life of him in the past and present, with smiles on his face. The visit was much comfort and encouragement for me as well. And he peacefully passed away the day after on Wednesday in the morning. I deeply thanked God for using me for him at the very time. Today's scripture gives us a message that God is waiting for the time, and when the time comes, he works himself no matter how small the time looks to us. Augustus, the Roman emperor, ordered the census to show the finite power of his and the Roman Empire, which will never last forever. However, God gave us eternal life through it by sending his only Son to this land. And Jesus, who was given birth at a manger, became our everlasting food. Only those who believe such work of God can have hope under any circumstances and become the channel of God's history. God works for us today as well, for our church, for the society, and mankind in a very mysterious and wonderful way. That God is our God, our Father. Let us pray. The whole world had to bow down to Roman Emperor's decree of census, and it was full of despair that everything would happen as the will of Roman Emperor. But even at the very moment, God was working wonderfully and mysteriously, fulfilling the word of God. Thank you for making us to realize that. We also thank you more because such God is our Father. The current world is filled with orders of census, in politics, in business, in culture, and in education as well. It seems that we need to listen to it so as to succeed, to win over others, and to take higher places in the competition. Help us be the Christians who follow the will of God and hope the time of God instead of being busy complying with the decree of census. Sometimes we might feel our place hopeless, but help us not to fall down or be frustrated so that we do not go away from God, but become the children of God, believing God is sincerely working for us in his way in spite of tiring and difficult lives of us. Make us become the people of God who grow and mature day by day. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.